Well, we're so pleased to welcome back to the program Dr. Wayne Westcott of the Exercise Science Program at Quincy College, as we normally talk to Dr. Westcott about this time every year, about those New Year's resolutions, which, Wayne, are going to be a little different than this time last year. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Joe, and you look as fit as ever. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. We're doing the best we can under the circumstances. How are you making out at the college in the exercise science program during this whole pandemic?
Our fitness center is doing very well. Right now, we are starting a new weight loss program. We have some new members, and you know, we're following all the guidelines. Everything is spaced out. We've taken out some machines. We can have major separation between all the pieces of equipment, and we have little bottles they take with disinfectant that no one touches but them, and we disinfect their clipboards, and there's pens and everything. We have air purifiers everywhere. That's going well, but we are seeing a low enrollment in our exercise science program right now. The fall was okay, but right now we're not sure exactly what's happening. We definitely need some more students in our exercise science program. Hopefully they're not giving up on this field or this career due to the recent closures, so to speak, within the year of the fitness centers and the YMCAs, et cetera. It's a little discouraging, but the personal training through Zoom, like we're doing, and home-based personal training is still a very viable option. And interestingly, although sales of gym equipment is way down because gyms are closed, sales of home equipment are up 100-200% over previous years. So people are still training at home and they still need good advice.
Yeah, well, it's indicative, I guess, the fact that people realize it's important to, to stay fit and to exercise, especially now. But as you mentioned, there is that issue of concern getting into, large public facilities. That's something you and I have never really talked about before, is kind of the economic aspect of physical fitness. And we've heard a lot about how this pandemic's impacted the restaurant industry, but it's had an equally devastating impact on the health and fitness industry.
Yes, it has. Interesting. According to the data that I've seen, the restaurant business is responsible only about 2% of the cases, and the fitness industry is responsible even less than that. People that go to gyms are usually pretty health conscious, at least our people, because we have an older population, very health conscious. So I'm not sure why we're targeting gyms and restaurants, but we comply and do our very best, and we don't second guess anybody. We just try and make sure that our people have every advantage in terms of avoiding this terrible plague.
Right, exactly, yeah. And as I mentioned, staying healthy, staying fit, exercising is a part of staying healthy, right? And boosting your immune system.
Yes, definitely. The research is very clear that resistance exercise and cardio exercise, both separately and even more together, help with what's called the neuroendocrine stress axis. That's what the neurologists call it. And that basically, it's your immune system and your ability to fight off, diseases or other issues that might otherwise get a little foothold. But people who are more fit have an enhanced neuroendocrine, resistance to those types of invaders that come into our body.
Yeah, certainly we're seeing, the deaths from COVID-19 exponentially higher among people with pre-existing conditions, chronic conditions, comorbidities, as they call them. So everything you can do to prevent those would help you in the long run, right?
Absolutely. Another factor would be that several experts, based on, I suppose, some very new but useful and legitimate and valid research, have found that COVID seems to be more devastating to people who have more fat in their bodies. So it's kind of, you don't have to worry, Joe, you look really lean and fit, but it tends to have a little stronger affinity towards and devastation with people who have more fat. Other doctors have said, it's the strangest disease we've ever seen. It seems to target your weakness, whatever your weakness is. Some people have repercussions in their heart. Other people have it with their headaches for long periods of time. It's really a very serious and devastating plague. No question about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it just all that much more important, you know, to focus on your physical and mental health as well as a big part of it. This is a big part of, you know, feeling good mentally translating into physical health too.
Absolutely. We've done some studies on that ourselves. I'm not an exercise psychologist, but I've worked with our leading exercise psychologist in the United States in Atlanta. We've done probably about maybe five or six, maybe more studies. And every study has shown significant psychological benefits in a variety of areas, not the least of which would be depression, which is one of the most serious one that we studied. But in terms of just fatigue and tranquility and a variety of other factors, self-concept being the largest of those that we saw the benefit, you know, personal self-concept and physical self-concept, very beneficial. We have not done studies, Joe, on the cognitive benefits. For example, you know, will it help prevent or at least put off, you know, cognitive disorders like Alzheimer's disease? We have not done that, but other studies have shown that it does seem to be, strength training in particular, beneficial with respect to cognitive abilities as well as the psychological factors that we have studied.
Sure. So as you mentioned, more and more folks are investing in home fitness equipment. What are you advising folks who are trying to keep up their exercise routine at home?
Well, it's a two-edged sword. It's good for the equipment companies, but if you go to most any, you know, sporting goods store and you say, how are your weights? And they'll look at you and say, we haven't had weights in here for several months. It's almost impossible to find free weights, dumbbells, barbells, weight plates, et cetera. You can still buy machines if you know, have the space and the money to afford machines in your home, but they're in shorter supply as well. Bands are still available, although some stores are out of them. They're just a little easier to manufacture and to order. But the resistance bands can produce a very good at-home workout. You can mimic most of your free weight exercises with bands, but you have to know how to use them appropriately. The reason for that is as the band stretches, it gives you much more resistance. So Joe, in pushing exercises like bench presses or squats or incline presses or shoulder presses, things of that nature where you're pressing out, your strength actually, because of leverage, increases as you extend. So the bands are very good. They kind of match your strength curve for pressing exercises, but that's not true for pulling exercises. That doesn't work as well with the bands. So you have to just be cautious. You can still do it, but you have to be cautious to make sure that you're not overstretching at the end where it gets a lot harder, because that's where you happen to be the weakest. And then the other thing, and they'll work for this, but let's say you're doing a curl with a band. The curl, your curling move, if I can demonstrate this, is a rotational movement. You're making a, you know, 9-degree or 110 degree movement in a rotational pattern, circular pattern. But the band, unlike a dumbbell that moves with you, the band only moves in a straight line. It only, you know, it doesn't go around curves. It stretches in a straight line. So you have to just make some adaptations or some expectations. It's not going to be quite as smooth as using a dumbbell or a weight machine or something of that nature. But you can certainly duplicate most of the exercise at home with the elastic bands, and they're a very good alternative, especially now.
Sure. What about, I'm sure you're familiar with all of these, digital applications where you're kind of training one-on-one with somebody via a video screen. You know, is that something that can encourage motivation for folks, do you think?
I think so. I really do, yes. One of the larger organizations in the country out in the Midwest. I happened to know them and I checked in. I said, how's everything going? I called the president. How's everything going? You know, have you lost a lot of your members? And he answered on the phone. He said, we haven't lost a single member. We haven't had to lay anybody off. We haven't yet had to cut any of their benefits. He said, we've just been doing everything one-on-one like we're doing by Zoom or whatever other means they use, Zoom, I presume. And he says, we just work with them at home one-on-one. And it's not as good as being there in person, having them in their facility. They don't have all the equipment. He says, but it's certainly a manageable way of doing it. And for most people, at home is not a highly motivating place for exercise. You go to a gym, you go say, okay, I'm in an exercise facility, I'm going to exercise. You know? But when you go to your home, it's like, well, I've got all these other things. I need to work around the house. I've got to rake the leaves. Snow, the refrigerator's open and someone has to go over and eat the food that's in there so it doesn't spoil, whatever. But when you got one-on-one with a person training you, you know you have a time to do that, a set time. Most likely, you're not only going to be there, but you're going to have a pretty good workout.
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, post-pandemic, some of this virtual, you know, home fitness training will continue?
I think it will. I really do. You know, we open up our center for classes, and that's not an open gym. It's like group personal training almost. We have 6-7 people at the most in a class, and they separate, they, you know, every other machine, and they're very fastidious, and they're doing just fine. And we were able to, with that class situation, we were able to accommodate 100 people in our facility, mm-hmm. and we filled all 100 spots. So that was good. But I'm not sure we could have filled, you know, if we opened up more classes. We opened up just a few to start with, about 15, 16 classes, you know, with 6 people each. But if we were opening up more, I'm not so sure, because a lot of people said, we're not coming back until we're really sure this thing is gone.
Yeah.
Which hopefully it will be later this year. But I don't think we would have had, you know, we got the 100 that really were motivated to be here, mm-hmm. but the other 100, I think, are either training at home or, heaven forbid, not training at all.
Right. Yeah, exactly. How hard is it to exercise wearing a mask, Wayne? You know, is that a hindrance, do you think? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Just being honest, it is a hindrance. You cannot get as much oxygen in, which is important. But even more important, you cannot get as much carbon dioxide out.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And you have little carotid bodies in your, they're called carotid bodies in your carotid arteries, that monitor your carbon dioxide flow. And that kind of is one factor in how fast you're breathing or deep you're breathing and heart rates, and all those things are factored in there. So, It is harder. I would definitely not use the heaviest exercise, the heaviest mask when you're exercising. You get a little oxygen out. And again, all of our people wear masks. When they're in here, they're wearing a mask. But I think the major thing we emphasize is staying far apart, which we do, and then wiping everything down with mm-hmm. our hopefully COVID killer, disinfectant. That we've been using, and we haven't had any issues thus far, thank God. But yes, it is hard to exercise with a mask. And if you're walking on a treadmill or cycling easily, not a problem. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to do interval training or training at a high level, once you get going, you'll notice it's you're not going to be able to get, you know, as many watts as if you're normally riding the bike at 150 watts, you have to cut down to 125 or 100. Okay. It is going to be a little more challenging.
Okay, yeah. So maybe just a little bit more moderation, or do those particular exercises at home alone, you know, when you can take your mask off.
Yes. We do encourage our people, you know, we have such fabulous strength training equipment. We encourage them to do their strength training here, and we space out a machine in between everybody. They're already spaced. We got rid of several machines, got rid of 12 machines just to space everything out.
Oh, wow.
Got the best ones. But the cardio certainly, most people can do that on their own at home if they have a home bicycle or mm-hmm. you know, stationary cycle or walking, those type of things.
Sure. And you mentioned walking. You know, we've learned that just walking alone can be a benefit, right?
Oh, yes. I'm a walker. I'm a runner and a cyclist, too, and I hike. But I'll go for walks with my wife and the dog, and I don't know if they're more beneficial physiologically or psychologically, mm-hmm. but we love to walk. Yeah, walking's Thoreau was right. It's a great exercise for several reasons.
Sure, yeah. Older folks, as you are aware, are particularly impacted by this pandemic. Can you maybe recommend some specific exercises that older folks could do at home?
Sure, be happy to do that. The legs are really important for mobility and balance and fall prevention, a variety of other things. So I would suggest doing chair squats. A chair squat is where you stand in front of the chair, about a foot in front of the chair, and you have the chair there so that if you ever got down and couldn't get back up, you're not going to fall or hurt yourself. You're going to sit on the chair. But you don't want to sit on it in between your squats. You just want to go down, just lower slowly. You can hold on if you want to have another chair to hold on so you keep your balance. If you want to do that, have a chair, you know, in front of you that you're touching or to the side. but you just go down until your hips lightly touch the chair seat, the top of the chair seat, and then come right back up. Don't sit there. Keep the tension on the muscles. And it's hard to get up from a seated position multiple times in a row, which I want you to do if you're doing the chair squats. The chair is there for safety purposes, and as a guy, that you don't want to go down any further. That's far enough to go down. You hit the chair seat. That's plenty far. And just touch. And you try and do five of those, and then maybe take a break for a minute, and then do five more. Take a break for a minute, do five more. Or work your way up to, you know, sets of, instead of sets of five, sets of 7 and 9 and 11 and 13, then up to 15. Once you can do 15, then you say, how can I make this a little more challenging? You don't want to really hold weights, you know, put a weighted vest on. We don't want to go that route right now. But what you could do is you could say, I'm going to go just a little slower. And you're thinking, well, how would that help? Wait till you try it. If you say, instead of just going down and up, if you count down on 3 full seconds, 1001, 1002, 1003, touch the chair, come back, 1001, 1002, 1003, without the momentum, you'll find much more continuous and beneficial muscle building tension on your front thighs, rear thighs, your hip muscles, and you'll get a better workout. So that would be for the legs. And then for the upper body, normally you'd say, well, we can do push-ups, but most older adults aren't really excited about push-ups. So you have to modify it a little bit. And if I do this, it's going to be, I won't fit in the frame, but I have a desk in front of me. I'm sitting at a desk. And what I could do, most people have desks or bureaus or things of that nature, or kitchen counters are good, where you can take a hold and you could put a little washcloth or gloves on in front, so you don't, if it has a sharp edge, you're not going to hurt your hand or anything. And you could just simply do push-ups, keeping your, you know, walk your feet back about 3 or 4 feet so that you're on a little angle. And because you've got a lot of the weight of your body weight borne on your feet and legs, you don't have nearly as much on your hands and your arms and your chest and your shoulder muscles as you would if you did a full push-up. And you say, hey, I can do some of those. And if you can't do those, oh, Wayne was, you know, too optimistic, I can't do it. Just start on the wall. Just step back 2 or 3 feet from the wall and push back a few times, nice and slow. And then as you get stronger, after you get, you know, 10 or 15 of those, do it on the desk or the kitchen counters. Use a little higher. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, okay, this is harder, but I can do at least 10. And then you work you up to 15, and then you might go down to a desk or maybe even the side of your bed, which is nice and soft. But depends on how tall your mattress are. You can do the push-ups on the side of your bed and get a pretty good workout. Now, not only are you working your chest and your arms, I point to my shoulders and say chest. Don't get old, Joe. I know this is a shoulder. Shoulders, your arms, and your chest. Because you're keeping your body straight, you get another benefit. You work your core muscles, your abdominal muscles, and your lower back muscles in a pretty safe angle. In a push-up position, there can be a little stress. You tend to sag, and there can be a little stress on the back. But when you're horizontal, but when you're, you know, on an angle, or even a lower angle, your back can handle that pretty well, and it will develop more strength along with your abs and your oblique muscles all hold your core in position. So those are two that are very simple that don't need any equipment that you could do just with your body weight.
Sure. Can you recommend maybe substitutes for weights at home, Wayne? Bottles of water maybe, or canned vegetables or something?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Okay. You know, a pint of water weighs a pound. So if you had a quart, so you had a couple quarts in your hands with handles or even without handles, you would have a couple pounds, right? Two pints and a quart, I believe I've got that right. Four glasses, 2 pints, 1 quart, and you can get a fairly good workout with that. And if you had a larger bottle, you could do even more. Sometimes you could pick up a 0.5 gallon, I don't know. Whatever you get, 0.5 gallons, orange juice or apple juice or milk, whatever it is, you know, and you could use that to progress from 2 pounds to 4 pounds, that type of thing. And some exercises, that wouldn't be enough weight. But many exercises, if you want to work your shoulders, because leverage fascia, I'm not going to, you can see what I'm trying to do here.
Yep.
Here's my shoulder. So I'm holding something in my arm, and I'm going out to the side like this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I have 2 pounds down here, you can't see my hand, but my hand's down by my hip. If I have 2 pounds here and I come up like this and I've got my elbow bent for a reason, just for safety. But let's say that now that is about, 15 inches away from my shoulder joint. As far as my deltoid muscles, my shoulder muscle are concerned, that is now 15 inches times 2 pounds, that's 30 pounds. So leverage can change things. So you say, oh, I didn't realize that. And if you say, well, I want to work my chest, I might lie on a piano stool, just even on the floor, on your bed, and you've got the weights up here, and you've got your two, so you've got 2 pounds again, a cord or something of that nature. And you just go down to your arms, touch the bed or touch the floor. In this out position out here, again, if that's 15 inches away, those 2 pounds are now 30 pounds. So you can make 2 pounds pretty effective as long as you go slow and controlled and use leverage. You say, well, wait, I don't want to go from 2 pounds to 30. Well, you just go down part way, then come back up, or just lift your shoulder part way up. No, I can't see that, but I go halfway up and now all the way, because the further you go out, the harder that gets, because the leverage works against you. So you can use light weights and still get a pretty good workout. And you can progress from, if I was doing my shoulders with my elbow in like this, I don't know if you can see how I'm doing that, but now it's not that far away. But if I move out a little bit, okay, I can make that much more challenging.
Okay. Yeah. Good tips, I think, for sure. Are you familiar at all with yoga, especially for seniors? We've had a lot of folks say they get some benefit from practicing yoga.
They certainly would. And we have numerous yoga instructors in our program and in our college, but I am not one of them. I have to plead ignorance. I've never done yoga, cardiovascular exercise, strength exercise, even stretching exercise. But I honestly, Joe, I apologize. I know nothing about yoga. My sincere apology to you on that.
No, not at all. Just curious. I don't know much about it either, but I have heard, and I know there are classes at senior centers here in Quincy and other places that they're very popular.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah. For holding positions and for stretching muscles, particularly effective in what I understand.
Sure. Nutritionally, Wayne, here we are, the new year. New Year's resolutions typically involve eating healthier, exercising, recommendations, I guess, for a balanced diet, if you could.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you what we're doing here. We're just starting a new weight loss study, a new weight loss program. We've got some people out there training as we speak. And the exercise protocol is the same that we always use, and it's excellent. Do about 20 minutes of strength and 20 minutes of cardio, and you stretch in between your strength exercise, which is wonderful. So we get all the basic fitness components. The nutrition components, you're allowed all the veggies and fruits, fresh fruits, frozen fruits, fresh veggies, frozen veggies that you want. But we are emphasizing two things, because most of our people here are seniors. They're over age 60, 60, 70, 80, 90, et cetera. Wow. And as you get older, you do not process protein as well as you did when you were younger. You process only about half as much of the protein that you eat at age 65 compared to when you were 35. Yet you want the protein for strong muscles and bones and organs and everything else that's important in your body. So we have a higher protein intake. We recommend about 0.6 grams per pound of body weight. So, Claudia, my wife, let's say that she weighs about 100, which is an exaggeration, is probably less than that. Let's say she weighs 100. She would want at least 60 grams of protein a day.
A day, okay.
A day. So 0.6 grams per pound of your ideal body weight. And that wouldn't be too hard to get if she just had one 9-ounce piece of salmon or other fish or chicken or turkey or whatever. There's about 7 grams per ounce of protein in your meats. So she'd have 63 grams of protein right there. So there, of course, dairy, low fat dairy, and of course, soy or beans or many other foods have fairly good protein content. So we want to make sure you get plenty of protein, because even if you're lifting weights, if you don't have at least about 0.6 grams of protein per pound on a regular basis, it's going to be very hard to build muscle. Several research studies would support that, and ours would also. So a little more protein, but when you take extra protein, and just because it's good anyway for everyone, we are emphasizing in this new study, we like you to get 3 to 4 extra glasses of water every day. Mm-hmm. Water is so important, and older adults almost never get enough water. Yeah. So we'd like them to take a glass of water at breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then one other time during the day if they don't have any trouble getting up during the night, you know, before they go to bed or something like that. But we want a little more water, which is also important to make sure that you process the protein and it doesn't cause any issues, which we've never had an issue. But if you have kidney problems of that nature, you may want to check with your physician before you take extra protein. But we've never had any problems, and we've seen much better muscle building and bone building, as well as much better fat loss in our numerous studies that we presented at, you know, Harvard Medical School conferences and, mm-hmm. and other major conferences with the extra protein. And I think we're going to find even more benefit. This time is the first time we tried the extra water. So I'll let you know how that goes next year.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll look forward to that. We've heard, you know, just recently, as you might be aware, there's studies about how vitamin D might be impactful in helping to either, you know, lessen the effects of COVID-19 or perhaps prevent it altogether.
I'm looking forward to those research results. And I'm surprised people haven't looked at some of the other vitamins as well. Mm-hmm. If you have a balanced diet, you can get most of the other vitamins, but vitamin D is a little hard to get up north because, you know, it's the sun vitamin, and there's just not enough sun. Even if you went out in the sun, you'd be dressed up, but it's not this time of year. It's just coming in at too low of an angle to be very effective. So yes, the vitamin D studies will be very, very interesting, to say the least. Hopefully they'll be beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What are your do you make New Year's resolutions yourself, Wayne? Just curious.
Well, I actually do make some, and they're more in line with what I wrote in my latest Quincy Sun column, and that is, don't try and do too much, and that's for me, because I've been doing this all my life, and I still do too much, and I need to realize I'm getting older, over 70 now, and I've got to cut back. I don't want to get weaker, but it comes with the aging process. And we all have to face it at some point. You'll get there in another 30 years, Joe. So,
no, it won't be that long.
but what I especially said is, don't do too much. People that make resolutions, I'm going to do this. I made a decision. I'm going to lose all this weight. I saw post on here about a weight loss program, and they said it's only been 1 week and I've already lost 5 pounds. That's too much. If you lose more than 2 pounds a week, you're losing muscle, unless you're extremely obese. Yeah. Your body can't process that much fat. You didn't put on 5 pounds in 1 week, I don't think. I hope you didn't. Okay. If you did, it was quite a week. But you're not gonna lose 5 pounds of fat. So when you lose the extra 3 pounds that they lost, they say, well, that's just water weight. Well, yes, it is partly water weight, but you don't have a storage of water. You know, you have a bladder, but that eliminates periodically. So the water comes from muscle and other and blood and vital organs. You don't want to lose water weight. Water is your best friend, okay? So we try to have people go slowly. Yes, I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of the month. Well, that would be okay. That's 2.5 pounds a week. We'll give you that. We'll give you that little bonus point. Because if you're strength training at the same time, you'll be preserving your muscle, all right, and you'll keep your metabolic rate high. But my advice to people when you're saying your goals or your New Year's resolutions is, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it systematically, gradually, progressively, and it's going to be, you know, a month by month, not a day by day or a week by week, because the body just doesn't do anything good quickly. It can do things quickly, but they're never permanent, and they're not usually very beneficial.
Yeah, so it makes up a good point, is how important is it to listen to your body, you know, what it's telling you?
Well, yes. Thank you. You spoke that to the right person. Being a fitness professional, you'd think that I would know this by now, but because of the pressure to sort of be a role model for my members and my students, I always tend to push too hard. So that's why my resolution is, you know, don't push too hard. You always push too hard. Then you get injured. Then you can't train for a week or two and you lose everything that you thought you gained. So, you know, I'm trying at this age to to calm down a little bit and not push as hard, not take it as a, you know, like I was when I was an athlete. It's a whole different ball game. I hope you all realize that if you're in that same, you know, over 50 age group, you need to take the slow, controlled, progressive, systematic, and reasonable. And if your body says, ouch, say, okay, I'm going to back off a little bit. A little soreness the next day after an exercise session, especially strength training, is not bad. Mm-hmm. But a lot of soreness or pain in the joint is a no-no. So be cautious.
All right. Good advice, Ryan. Anything else you'd like to share with folks right now?
Yes, I just want to tell them how honored I am to be on your show regularly. I think we're on twice this year. Mm-hmm. Always a privilege, Joe. You do such a great job communicating with people in every area, but especially I appreciate what you do for the fields of health, fitness, nutrition, general well-being. I think we've learned this year how really important that is. So thank you very much, Joe, from myself and Quincy College and our members to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's our pleasure here at QATV, and we'll continue this relationship in the future, either remotely like we're doing now or hopefully in person again real soon.
Yes, that'd be good. I miss seeing you, but you look great on Zoom.
Thanks so much, Wayne. Great to see you. Have a very happy, healthy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you, Joe.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.